I'd like to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 8, book of Mark, chapter 8, read verses 22-26. Mark chapter 8, verses 22-26. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes, made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. This is one of the many recorded healing miracles of Christ during his earthly ministry. We see that this particular miracle involves an unnamed blind man. It's only recorded by Mark, and the record is brief. It's not one of the better known miracles of Christ, and I believe it's probably the most misunderstood of Christ's miracles of healing. It's certainly the most unusual of his healing miracles because of the manner in which it was done. It's the only recorded healing miracle done in two stages. So it was a progressive healing. As well as it's the only one where the healed person was asked if they were healed or if they had been cured. So it's different than all the other healing miracles, which ought to get our immediate attention. All the healing miracles of Christ, as we've said many times, were methods of teaching. They were basically parables in action, pictures of truth. And it's no different with this miracle. And it's very important that we do not miss the lesson and the truth of this miracle. And again, in all of Christ's healing miracles, the diseases that were healed were symbolic of spiritual need. No different here with this miracle. And it's important that we do not miss the need that is symbolized in this miracle. In all the healing miracles, there's great blessing in you and I just putting ourselves in the place of the one who is being healed and make application to ourselves. In all the healing miracles of Christ, there's great encouragement to faith, to trust Him. There's great joy in all the healing miracles of Christ. So what Mark states here, he's very brief. He states it in a very understandable manner. But at the same time, there's great, great depths in this particular miracle. The end result of the miracle is recorded in verse 25. He was restored and saw every man clearly. The key there is he saw clearly. The subject tonight is the Lord's touch upon the visually impaired. Go along with this morning's message that we need to be vertically visioned, vertically minded. We need to be able to see clearly. We need to be able to see very distinctly if we're going to live the life that God has called us to live. So first thing we want to do is look at the miracle and the context of the miracle, and then make application to ourselves. In verse 22, Christ and his disciples arrive in Bethsaida. As Christ is passing through that town, people recognize him, and they bring to him a blind man, and they beg Christ to heal this man. In verse 23, Christ took the man by the hand, led him to a place just outside of the town of Bethsaida, and then he did something quite unusual. He spit on his eyes. And then it says that he put his hands upon him. That is, he placed his hands upon him. He did so with purpose and intention. He placed his hands, plural, he placed both hands upon the man. From reading verse 25, it's obvious that he placed his hands upon the man's eyes. Verse 25, after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes. So you get the picture. Jesus has both of his hands on this man's eyes, one hand on each eye. Then we see in verse 24, Jesus removes his hands and he asked him if he saw aught. Do you see anything? Is the question. We see his response. He says, I can see people, but they look like trees walking around. Now that tells us this man was not always blind. He knew what people look like and he knew what trees look like. So he wasn't always blind. But he says, I see people, but they look like trees walking. So he's no longer blind. But he doesn't see clearly. There's light. There are objects. There is movement. I see men as trees walking. But that's a problem. I mean, if you start seeing people that look like trees moving, you've got a problem. So this man, though he now sees, there's still something wrong with his vision. He's no longer blind, but he does not see clearly. And he certainly does not see accurately. I see men as trees walking. He could not distinguish between trees and men. So he did not see distinctly. He was unable to recognize the difference in things. You and I know the difference between a man and a tree. But this man was having a difficult time distinguishing the difference between people and trees. So he's no longer blind, but there is distortion. His view is distorted. He says, I see people and they're moving, but they look like trees, and they're as big as trees. Everything's distorted. The form and the arrangement and the appearance of things were all out of focus. So though he's no longer blind, he does have a problem. And this would be a problem that would cause great confusion in his life. No longer in complete darkness, but he does have a sight impairment. God's people, no longer in darkness, but many have a sight impairment, just like this man. In verse 25, after this man answered the question of Christ, do you see aught? I see men as trees walking. We read, he put his hands again upon his eyes, just like he did in verse 23. And it says he made him look up. He tilted his head back, directed his gaze in a specific direction. And it says the man was restored. It is, the man was fixed. And he saw every man clearly. He now saw. And he saw clearly. He saw accurately. He saw distinctly. He saw without any distortion. He could now distinguish people from trees and trees from people. And all the joy that must have filled his heart. For now he can see clearly. There's new beauty in his life. Everything looks different. The entire landscape of this man's life has now been changed. He had a different perspective. When you can see clearly, you have a different perspective of life. Your whole thought process changes. I mean, if you can't tell the difference between people and trees, that's going to affect your thought process. So this man's whole thought process has now been changed. His attitude would be different. His manner of living would be different. Everything is different because his vision has been changed. He now sees clearly. So in this particular miracle, Jesus varied his manner of healing from all of his previous healing miracles. Healing this man in two stages. The only time of the recorded healing miracles that Jesus healed someone in two stages. So we have to ask, why? Why did he do it that way? And he did so with great deliberation. He did so with a set purpose. He touched this man's eyes twice before this man saw clearly. But be sure of this, when the man said, "I see men as trees walking," that was not his problem with his vision, was not due to any inadequacy or failure on Christ's part. "I see men as trees walking." This was not because, the reason it was done in two stages was not because this man's case was particularly a hard case. It was so hard that Jesus had to make two attempts. That's blasphemy. But Jesus did touch the man's eyes twice before he saw clearly. But be sure of this, Jesus did not need two attempts to get it right. That also was blasphemy. That Christ varied his manner of healing in this particular miracle raises some questions. Why? Why did Christ heal this man in two stages? Keep in mind, all the healing miracles of Christ are lessons. They are pictures. Why did he do it in two stages? Why, after the first time that Jesus laid his hands upon this man's blind eyes, why didn't he see clearly after the first time? Certainly, Jesus had a purpose in that. Why, after the first time that Jesus laid his hands upon this man's eyes, did he ask this man if he saw clearly? Jesus knew what the man saw. So why? Why did Jesus ask that? And again, as in all the healing miracles of Christ, the healing, the manner of healing, is an object lesson. And it is an object lesson of spiritual need. And the only way we can answer those questions, why did he do it this way, is we have to look at the context of the miracle. And I believe when we do that, we get the purpose of why he did it this way. So consider the context. It has in all things, the context helps us to understand some things. In this case, it'll help us to understand why Christ healed this man in the manner that he did. And I believe it also helps us to understand the spiritual need that is being portrayed here and the importance of what is being taught here. So consider what occurred just prior to the miracle. It's the setting of the miracle. Looking at what occurred prior to the miracle enables us to arrive at the meaning and the lesson being taught. Prior to the miracle, verses 1 through 9, Jesus had fed about 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fishes. Following that, in verse 10, it says that Jesus entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. While there, in verse 11, the Pharisees came and they're seeking a sign from heaven. In verse 13, Jesus leaves the Pharisees and he and the disciples get back into a boat and finish their journey. In verse 14, we see that the disciples, while in the boat, realize that they had forgotten to bring bread, and that they had only one loaf between them. And they began to worry about this. Began to worry. They just saw Christ feed over 4,000 people with a few loaves. And now they become very worried over the fact that they have but one loaf. Christ said to them in verse 15, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." In verse 16, they begin to reason among themselves. And they arrive at a wrong conclusion. Their conclusion was this: he said this because we have no bread. What caused them to rise at that conclusion? It was the fact that Christ used the word leaven twice. So they immediately assume, and wrongly so, that Christ was rebuking them for forgetting to bring bread. That's what was on their minds. So where are their minds? Their minds, of course, are on the material. Their minds were so upon the material that they completely missed the teaching of Christ when he said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." They missed it all because their minds were on the wrong thing. Christ then proceeded to ask them 9 questions in verses 17 through verses 21. He asked them 9 questions. Can you imagine Jesus asking you 9 questions? 9 questions. What he says in effect with those questions is this: He says, I have been teaching and preaching to you all this time. This is toward the end of his ministry. And you still don't understand. You still don't understand what I'm saying to you. You still don't get it. After all this time, I've been teaching and preaching to you. You have witnessed countless miracles. And yet, you still don't get it. This is what he's saying. This is the gist of the questions. He's saying you are troubled because you only have one loaf of bread. And yet you have witnessed two miracles which prove the insignificance of a single loaf and the insignificance of the material. He then closes with the question of verse 21. How is it that you do not understand? How is it that you still don't get it? So what was the problem here? They were lacking in spiritual understanding. They were lacking in spiritual perception. They could not make a distinction between the spiritual truth of Christ, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. They could not make a distinction between that spiritual truth of Christ and material bread. They couldn't see the difference. The issue here with the disciples is one of clarity. They had no clarity. They were unable to make a distinction. So he's saying to them, after all this time with me, you still have a distorted view. You still do not see what I'm telling you. With these words of Christ freshly upon their minds, the very next thing we read in verse 22 is this blind man being brought to Christ. And I believe that Christ would now use this occasion to present to them a picture of themselves and a picture of what they needed also. Christ healing that blind man in the manner that he did was a picture of their desperate need. In verse 23, when Christ asked this man if he saw aught or anything, and the blind man said, I see men as trees walking. That's a picture of his disciples. In their failure to understand, in their failure to see clearly and distinctly the teachings of Christ. In other words, their spiritual vision was impaired. When that blind man said, I see men as trees walking, it was just as if Christ held up a mirror to the disciples and he's saying, this is you. This is you. See this man? This is you. You're not completely blind, but everything is distorted. You do not understand. This is you. This is where you are. This is the spiritual condition that you are in. This is what he's telling his disciples. So when that blind man said, I see men as trees walking, it's as if Christ said to his own, this is you. This is your perception. Your perception lacks clarity. Your perception lacks definition. I see men as trees walking. Just as this man was unable to distinguish between one thing and another, So the disciples could not distinguish between what Christ was telling them and what their minds were fixated upon. So what followed the miracle also is of great importance. We see Jesus would arise in Philippi after this miracle. And it was there that he would tell the disciples. Matthew's account is the most detailed in Matthew 16 of when they arrived in Philippi. And it was there that he would tell the disciples that he would go to Jerusalem and he would be crucified. And you remember Peter arguing with the Lord, showing once again that they did not see clearly. Their vision was distorted. So I believe this miracle is for the disciples. The reason Jesus healed this way was for the purpose of the disciples. When this man said, "I see men as trees walking," he's drawing a picture of the distorted vision of the disciples. So making application to ourselves, "I see men as trees walking." If that happened to you and I, if we wake up tomorrow and all of a sudden our vision is that distorted, we're not going to have someone tell us we've got a problem. We know we've got a problem. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And we also know I can't go on living like this. I can't go on thinking that people are trees or vice versa. You can't function. You're going to make all kinds of bad decisions. All kinds of things are going to go haywire in your life if your vision is that distorted. So it pictures a very serious problem. Distorted vision is a very serious problem. And I'm not speaking physically now, I'm speaking spiritually. And it presents a very desperate need. "I see men as trees walking." To continue in such a state would cause all kinds of difficulties, would put all kinds of obstacles in your life. To continue in such a state would be dangerous. Distorted spiritual vision is very dangerous. It's a very dangerous thing. "I see men as trees walking." Well, that would fill your life with confusion. Is it a person? Is it a tree? Well, it looks like a tree, but I think it's a person. And your whole life would be one of confusion. A lot of God's people live in confusion because they cannot see clearly. Their vision is distorted. And a lot of that goes back to this morning's message. The reason is because they've been walking horizontal so long and looking at things horizontally so long that their vision is distorted. It would fill your life with uncertainty. It would put you in great danger of making very poor judgments. If you can't tell the difference between a tree and a person, I wouldn't want to depend on you for judging too many things. You're probably going to make some unwise decisions if your vision is that distorted. And that's what happens when people have spiritual vision that is distorted. To continue in that condition would bring much fear. It would cause all kinds of anxiety. And again, Much anxiety is caused because people don't see clearly. They don't see God clearly. They don't see the teachings of God's Word clearly. It would say, if you continued in that condition, I see men as trees walking. It'd be pretty hard to enjoy life. And it's pretty hard to enjoy the Lord when you have distorted vision. So, this man's vision was distorted. And unless it was corrected, it would prove to be very dangerous and bring much misery into his life. So it is today. Many of God's people are in great danger because they cannot see clearly. Oh, they can see some things. They're not completely blind. But their vision is very, very distorted. But we read in verse 25, after that is, after this man's admission of not seeing clearly and distinctly, what would have happened? Jesus said, do you see aught? Do you see anything? And the man says, oh, I see just fine. Everything's fine. But it wasn't. And that's what we do. Our vision becomes distorted spiritually. And we say, oh, I see just fine. But you don't. So after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Jesus was telling the disciples, this is what you need. You're this man. You do not see clearly. And when Jesus laid his hands on him the second time, he's telling them, this is what you need. You need for me to touch your eyes. They stood in need of the omnipotent touch of the Lord upon their lives, enabling them to see clearly and with great definition. We all need that. For God to touch our eyes. We live in terribly sinful times. People are seeing things that aren't there. People are not seeing what they ought to see. We need the touch of the Lord to cause us to see clearly. To be able to make distinction. So Jesus is presenting two things here. He's presenting their condition, but he's also presenting to them what they need. Now here we are. We live in a fallen, chaotic world. Satan with his darts, his snares, his destructive and conniving ways, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The forces of hell have unleashed their fury against the cause of God and the people of God and the churches of God. And here we are in the last days, a postmodern world, a postmodern society and culture that considers God to be a nuisance and the absolute, immovable, unchangeable, unaffected, inflexible message of the Word of God is considered to be utter foolishness. And God's order has been and is continually and blatantly ignored and rejected. That's the times in which we live. And as a society and culture, we sink further and further into the mire by the day. And we are in a world, a society, and culture that has been duped, that has been spellbound with the philosophies and with the agendas of Satan, where people are clinging to the lies and the deceits of hell. And many times God's people can't tell the difference between the lies and the deceits of hell and the truth of God. Their vision is distorted. So here we are in a time when we are incessantly bombarded with the satanic notion that we must approve, we must accept, we must respect, we must participate in the beliefs and in the lifestyles of the abominable. And many's vision is so out of focus that they buy all of that. They buy it. Their vision is distorted. They can't tell the difference between a lie of hell and thus saith the Lord. We live in a time when Satan and the world and society and culture are incessantly using their battering rams in an attempt to break down every door of homes, and just continual. And the masses frantically trying to fill the void, as we mentioned this morning, with that which will not fill the void, but only increase the void. Feverishly following and putting their hope in that which is godless. And yet God's people many times walk around delusional. Cannot see clearly. We need to see clearly. We need to be able to distinguish between thus saith the Lord and thus saith the world. We need to be able to make that distinction. We need to be able to see clearly. We need to be able to see clearly that the world, though the majority of the people have accepted it, they're on a road that leads to destruction. We need to see that clearly. We cannot be delusional. Delusional. So this is a very trying and difficult time, a threatening time, a very dangerous time for every life, for every family, for every home. It's a very dangerous time. And somebody has to be able to see clearly. Every life, every family, every home is in danger of being infected and plagued with the lies and the evil that is all around us. Everyone's in danger. We need to be able to see. This is a very pressing and urgent time. And by tomorrow, it'll be more pressing. And if God gives us Tuesday, it'll be more pressing. It gets more pressing and more urgent by the day. And hell's crowd becomes more and more enraged by the day. More and more determined by the day. And it is imperative that we be able to see clearly. Don't let anyone put a blindfold on your eyes but that God would touch our eyes, that we would be able to see very clearly the difference between the ways of God and the ways of man. So we need the Lord to touch our eyes. If we're going to live the life that God has called us to live, we cannot be seeing men as trees walking. We need to be able to see very clearly. People listen to the pagans, the heathen, the ungodly, the abominable. I'm talking about God's people, and they say, well, you know, I can see their point. You're in trouble. You're in serious trouble. You've got a serious problem. If you can see their point, you're delusional. Your vision is going. And you need the Lord to put His hands upon your eyes so that you can see clearly. So you can see clearly. Many people lose their clear vision because it's their children or it's their family that's involved in the abominable. Don't let that affect your sight. Don't let that affect your vision. It's one of the oldest tricks of Satan. And he continues to use it because it works with the vast majority of people. And I can almost guarantee you, if we live long enough, that's how the abominable is going to get in the Lord's churches. Because every family here is going to be affected by it in some way. And that's how it'll get in. Because its family will overlook it. I understand, you know, you're losing your vision. Become delusional. I see men as trees walking. Must be able to make clear distinction between the carnal and spiritual. You've got to be able to see the difference between those two things. You've got to be able to see the difference between the earthly and the heavenly. Between truth and error. Between the main thing and the minute thing. You've got to be able to see. You've got to be able to make a distinction between those things. Between the Lord's will and self-will. Many people don't know the difference. Because they're like this man here. I see men as trees walking. So if we're going to live the life that God has called us to live in these days in which we live, we've got to be able to see clearly. Clearly enough where we can discern between masters. Clearly enough that our hearts would be fully engaged in the Lord's work. So all that we would not fall into this condition. I see men as trees walking. But that we might be able to say, I see clearly. I see clearly. God's given us His Word. We need to study it. We need to fill our hearts with it. It needs to be our glasses. It needs to be what corrects our vision. It needs to be what we see through. The Word of God. Yes, the world's going this way. Family's going this way. Most people are going this way, but this is what God's Word says. I see it. God help us that our eyesight, spiritual eyesight, does not fail us. And again, getting back to this morning, if you are constantly looking at the horizontal, constantly thinking of the horizontal and never look to the vertical and never think vertically, your vision is going to become distorted. It'll become very distorted. You sit down and talk with some of God's people, and I'm here to tell you their viewpoints are no different than your lost neighbors. No different at all. It's because their vision is distorted. They've got a serious problem, and only the Lord can fix it. And He can fix it very simply. He just puts His hands upon our eyes. Oh, we ought to pray every day that God would touch our eyes. When we see the trials and the difficulty, oh God, touch my eyes that I might see You in the trials and in the difficulties. We need for God to touch our eyes on a continuous basis. And I believe that's the teaching of this miracle. Oh, how we need to see. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse 7.